really are, if magic really is effective, does it not contradict the will of God? And how can anything contradict the will of God? And then we said that when God created the world, he made rules, and he himself abides by the rules. And one of the rules is that you can take advantage of the rules. And therefore, if you can, like, insinuate yourself between God and what's supposed to be, then you can take over and change the course of events. That's basically what we said yesterday. Am I missing anything major? Or is that a good summary?
Is that like Kabbalah a little bit?
That's why, partially, it's not a couple. It's mystical. What?
It's a
okay. So now, we also mentioned yesterday that the concept of the two words here in the Pasuk in the Torah, which are forbid similar things, but they're different. The one we've talked about till now is lo tenachashu. Lo tenachashu means, in modern Hebrew, would be rendered as don't take guesses. And, you know, the classic case of taking a guess would be if you took a coin out of your pocket and said, heads I go, tails I stay, right? So then you flip the coin and you decide, and it comes out tails, and you decide to stay because it came out tails. Now, I'm not talking about where each choice is equal and, you know, you have no way of determining. Saying that you determine that if it goes one way, it's lucky. If it goes the other way, it's not lucky. That's part of the prohibition. What?
So I can't go to a friend and be like, you go to the store and tell
them
I go to the store
to buy stuff? No, you can. It's for who gets the first to roll a football game, too. But you can't do something which has nothing to do with destiny, fate, you know, stuff like that. That's what you can do it on. If you feel that going to the grocery store is part of your destiny, so then I would...
But
it's
like,
it's
kind of like whether to do something.
I'm
like, you say,
like,
okay,
go to yeshiva, go to college.
Right.
Heads go to yeshiva, tails go to college.
Right. That would be a pretty poor way of doing it. It might border on this prohibition. The idea is expressed by Chazal in a person saying the case of class case to give a person's bread fell out of his hand. If then he says it falls on the dry side, he says, okay, things will go well. Falls on the buttered side, he says, things are not going to go well for me today. So that kind of subservience to science is considered to be a negative thing.
What about horoscopes?
What? Horoscopes. Now, the question... What?
Like a newspaper, horoscopes.
No, so, a good question. Now, horoscopes will really fall more into the second prohibition. Second prohibition is lota onenu. The word ona, which is at the root of lota onenu, means a period of time. And what it means here is that you shouldn't look to find lucky times. What time is going to be lucky for this occurrence, and what time is going to be unlucky? For example, to examine astrologically to see, well, and this, if I do it then Jupiter is going to be aligned with Mars, and that's not good. But if I do it at a different time, then Jupiter is going to be aligned with Venus, and then we're doing very well. That kind of prediction or divination of what's going to happen is part of the second prohibition in the Pasuk.
Don't we Jews do that all the time? Like, month of Av is bad, and month of Adar is good. Going to get married, you should get in the month of Adar because it's a good model.
No, not married. They have a court case.
Court case or any of these things. Different months have different mida. You should wait, because then you'll be in this month. Isn't that exactly what that is?
No, it's not exactly the same thing, because when we say that you're supposed to avoid the month of Av, it's because of something which happened in the past, not because something which happened in the future. In other words, we know that Av is a bad month. How do we know Av is a bad month? So many bad things happen. Here, you don't have any notion of something reflecting the past. You're trying to predict the future.
What if you know that Jupiter was in line with Mars when 9/11 happened, and therefore I'm going to plan a trip, and Jupiter's going to align with Mars again, and therefore since this event happened before that,
That would be less of a prohibition, because as you know, I don't know if you know this, but Hasidim don't make Kiddush on Friday afternoon between 6 and 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because that is when Mars is ascendant. And since Mars is ascendant between 6 and 7 o'clock, and Mars
every
is...
Week.
What?
Every week.
Because the way in the classic astrology, the seven planets which rotate over and over again, so every week comes out exactly the same.
According to English time?
So
hour by hour by hour.
Mars ascending?
But what about like daylight savings? It has to change.
No, it doesn't change anything.
Because
the summer 7 days, right? Because, whatever.
Right.
Same idea.
So I mean, the time that Mars is coming over the horizon.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Why is that? Because that's Mars is red, wine is red, it's going to get very bloody. So it's basically...
why does that fall under the prohibition?
What?
How
come? Oh, that's what I'm saying. So the idea is that it's an assumption that there's a known issue with that time. In other words, when there's a known issue with that time, and they held, Chassidim still hold, that every time has specific qualities, and this time has a specific quality. So it's not trying to predict what's going to occur, but rather it's taking into account what is known. To try and predict what time is good, what time is not good, that's what is forbidden. Okay? That is a different thing than extrapolating from the past to the future is different than purely looking at the future. Maybe astrology is not a good example to give because a lot of astrology, to those who believe in astrology, is based on known, quote-unquote, facts, right? But something where you're just looking for, you spin the dice, right? Like Haman did, right? He spun whatever, however he did it, to try and figure out what the right hour of the day is, what the right day of the year would be, that would be prohibited on this basis.
So it's based on nothing other than, I've decided that depending on where this leaf off this tree falls, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Even I've decided that March 4th is a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not basing on anything. I just have this feeling that March 4th is a bad day. So therefore, I'm going to change my plans and do something else on March 7th instead.
Right. Or like the soothsayer told Caesar, beware the Ides of March.
Right. So, but if I said every March 4th for my whole life, I've fallen down and stubbed my toe. Therefore, on March 4th, I'm going to avoid.
You'd be wise to avoid, right. You'd be wise to avoid stairs on that day. That is
so
correct.
The notion that certain times do have certain tendencies.
That's fundamental to Judaism. That's why we have Yom Tov.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, we could do like secular holidays, move every holiday off to the first to Monday, so to have it be much more convenient, right? It's a long weekend where we hold it days.
But basically, within given control over Yom Tov to declare them to declare what day.
Yeah, but they always pinned it to an event. Right. They almost never did it arbitrarily. That's why they have this whole question with the modern day Israeli Yom Tovim, you know, Yom Ha'atzmaut and Yom HaShoah, those things which they instituted, besides the whole issue of whether they're legitimate in terms of halachic observance or not, but you know, how you can just take a day at random and say, okay, this is the day we're going to observe for this purpose.
Right, so because they didn't to declare what day is based on, there's either going to be one or the other.
Mm-hmm. I thought you said Yom Tov the Rabbanan, though.
No, I'm talking about the rest of
it. Oh, that's okay. I was
misunderstanding. Determine which day is which Yom Tov.
Right, that was given not so much to the Yom Tov, but the calendar. We're given the control of
right.
The calendar. Right, that's the myth of the calendar. Now, again, getting back to astrology and horoscopes, so this, too, is the difference of opinion between basically the Rambam and everybody else. There are sources in Chazal for the Rambam. Let's make that clear. The Rambam doesn't come without sources of Chazal, but even the Rambam is so great in Jewish history that anything he said, even if it had no source, automatically becomes a normative, acceptable opinion in Judaism. I wish I had that power. the Rambam did have that power, and therefore anything like if somebody wants to come say, I'm a strict Maimonidean, I don't believe in Kabbalah, I don't believe in astrology, I don't believe that there's any such thing as Ein Hara. So, okay, you've got the Rambam, what can we do?
The Rambam would never say Bliyan Harris?
No.
They say he only said that, or at least by Shadim, he only said that because they only exist if you believe in them. So he might have believed in them, but he told people that they don't exist, because if people don't believe in them, they don't exist. So he wanted to protect the people.
And you actually believed it when they told you that?
Not true.
Of course not. The Rambam was a man, the Rambam was a man of integrity. He said things he believed and did not say things he did not believe. It wasn't like some sort of wishy-washy guy in the 21st century who tries to use psychological warfare on people. Rambam said what he said, what he believed, and that's what it is. No more, no less. You see from the Rambam that's the way he functions. So Rambam mode, there is no such thing as astrology. It's all a bunch of baloney. The stars can't predict a thing. On the other hand, there are many, many Gemaras, and certainly many, many Rishonim, who seem to indicate that the stars are very authoritative in indicating what's going to happen to an individual. and that astrology is meaningful. Just like palmistry is meaningful, reading palms. That's a whole sfarim written about how to read somebody's palm. A whole sfarim written about how to read people's foreheads. So there are all sorts of things you can... all sorts of things.
I can have a palm reading booth and that would be mutter because I can base myself on these palms.
I have a friend who reads palms. I haven't spoken to him in many years, but it's a friend in Baltimore who read the books and he reads palms. So according to the Rambam, all is hogwash. But according to other sources, clearly there is something to it. So once again, the question is exactly what is considered to be the normative view of Judaism. I would say the normative view of Judaism is, this is only my perspective, because anybody else will tell you whatever they want, is that there is such a thing, and somebody mentioned this yesterday, I forget who it was, there is such a thing as magic, but we don't know what it is anymore. There is such a thing as astrology. We don't know how to work it anymore. Those people who practice these things are hoaxes. Although Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan, in one of his books, he talks about some chacham in Yerushalayim who actually still will tell you your horoscope to this very day and age. So therefore, it would seem that there are people who still feel they are competent to predict your future. He says specifically, Rabbi Kaplan, that this chacham will not predict the future. He'll only tell you what your personality is based on your astrological signs.
For small theory.
And I assume there is token free. I actually have a friend in Chicago who was pretty good at guessing what month and what week you were born in on the basis of your personality. Because there are certain traits which are associated with different times of the year and different times of the month. And I was pretty impressive, I have to tell you. He was pretty good in being able to pin down when you were born and according, because those are the traits which you reflect or manifest. Now, again, according to the Rambam, he was just engaging in some elaborate game which he happened to love. Luck out, if there is such a thing.
What about Paro?
What?
Paro and Moshe, so that someone be born that would...
Right, so according to the Rambam, this is all a bunch of baloney. It's all a hogwash.
He just basically believes people who are lying to them.
Yeah, they believe people. According to the Rambam, everybody believes people who are lying to them for many, many thousands of years. Right.
Well, I mean, that still happens with horoscopes today. People open up the newspaper and read the horoscope.
Right.
Yeah, with people lying to them.
Yeah, it just goes to show...
That's still austere, though, to actually, like, read a horoscope, right?
What?
It's still austere.
Why is it austere to read a horoscope?
No? Can read a horoscope.
Sure.
You can go to
a palm reader.
You can have your palm read.
Yeah.
Really?
Perfectly fine. How do you
fancy
that? Perfectly fine.
Right.
How someone gets
read
your palm.
Somebody's like
the
Carl
Cards
and
what is ours,
type
of thing.
I don't think it's read a palm
reader.
There's
looking
lifelong on your palm.
But you can't base any decisions upon
it. Right. Oh. So the same reason people take personality tests. Don't you know your personalities before you take a personality test?
You're
You never took a personality test?
No.
It's
a purity test.
What?
The number one thing of your purity test. It's like 500 question test of like how pure you are.
Integrity, you mean?
In terms of like morality. In terms of
this is different. It's the Briggs-Meyer. The Briggs-Meyer personality test rates you on four different quadrants. Whether you're a thinking person or a feeling person, whether you're introspective or extrospective person, whether you are a judgmental or a judgmental or emotional. I forget what they are, but they're all a bunch of categories.
It's like a political thing like that. Left-wing, right-wing.
Libertarian Party?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so people like taking these tests.
I was a fascist.
Everyone's like around here, you're a dot like a
So people like taking these tests in order to find out what, allegedly there is, in palmistry, if you believe it, so then it actually does tell you things about, what your life will be like, even though you shouldn't base decisions on that. In other words, it might tell the palm reader that you are a loser, but preferably they won't tell you that, or, you won't act on that assumption. Now, the question is, in fact, according to Rambam, everything is very, very simple. All a bunch of baloney. But according to everybody else, it is complicated. At what point do we say astrology has validity? At what point do we say astrology does not have validity? What's the cutoff line? At what point do we say you can look into these types of things? as Gemara seems to do from time to time. At one point we say you can't look into these things. Oh, excuse me. Also, it says ein mazel Yitro. It says man doesn't, Yitro doesn't have mazel. At the same time, the Gemara in several places says also an islay mazel. A person's got a mazel. A behemoth has no mazel. An animal has no mazel. So what does it mean? We're a bunch of animals, right? We don't have mazel because we're animals, but other humans do. So how do we understand all these things? So,
I'm very sorry, I've been asked to request from the hierarchy of the yeshiva, if you don't mind moving the class to the outside on the bench in front of the dormitory, you can give an after class today, starting immediately. That's okay with you.
Hot outside on the bench.
I know, it's just a one-day thing, and it's just another 20 minutes to end the class, I guess.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll walk with you if you want to mention.